I actually want to give tonight. I feel a leading in a little bit different direction. So 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I want to back up and read verse 28 through 31, all right? So if you would please stand. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So the subject that I want to talk about tonight is entitled A Better Way. And you may be seated. The Apostle Paul then goes into chapter 13. Now you know that when the Bible was written, that it wasn't written in chapters. This is called an epistle, which means a letter that Paul wrote. And later on, the scripture was canonized. And by that we mean that it was put in chapters and verses in order for us to be able to turn to a certain place and find it. If not, it'd be like thumbing through a book that had no chapters and you're trying to find something. So it's easy for us to find something. So Paul talks about the nine spiritual gifts that are mentioned, and that is tongues, interpretation, prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits. He talks about faith. Talks about healings, and he talks about miracles. And then he talks about spiritual leaders that God has placed in the church. Now, after he goes through all of this, and in no way do I want to minimize anyone's healing, anyone's miracle. This morning we had Brother Larry Smith. We had him to stand. We also had Sister Moran to stand. These two people have been healed miraculously of cancer. This morning we had tongues and interpretation. And I still, after all these years, I am just stricken with awe when somebody gives a message in another language, an unknown language, and somebody else gives one, sometimes three, and then one person gives the translation or the interpretation. I'm still awe-stricken with that. It's just phenomenal. But Paul says, as great as we think all these things are, he said, I want to show you a better way. Now, he was not minimizing these spiritual gifts. He was not saying that they weren't necessary. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, in which he placed regulations on the verbal gifts, that's tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, makes it very plain that these gifts are needed in the church. But as awesome as they are, he said, I want to show you a better way. And then he starts talking about love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, 1 Corinthians 13:1. I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Now the reason why that this is so necessary, when we're dealing with a world that doesn't know God, The world is not really interested in how spiritual you are as much as how human you are. Because it's with your humanity that you reach people. That's how Jesus reached people. Now, he was greatly used of God, but he never lost that personal touch that's needed to reach people. And what Paul is saying is that regardless of how spiritual you become, the character of God, which is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, mercy, faith, temperance. He said, against such there is no law. In other words, there is no limit. You love all you want to love. But if you read 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, you can't talk in tongues and interpret in a church service just all you want to. That's why he put some regulation. But he said, the character of God is never regulated. And basically what he's telling us is that any time that you become spiritual and your spirituality gets out of hand because that you're not firmly rooted and grounded in the character of God, in other words, Christ is not formed in you, then you're going to do more harm than you do good. Why is it that some people, when they get spiritual, they like to elevate themselves above everybody? They get where they can't laugh. They can't have a good time. They make everybody feel uncomfortable. They become very condemning. They're not edifying. Why is that? And the truth of the matter is, sometimes they lose their effectiveness because they really don't know how to love people. Paul said, I'm going to show you a better way. Isn't that something? This morning I talked about professional Christians. I want to take this one step farther. You know, the Apostle James says in James 1, verse 22 through 25, he tells us, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, like looking in a mirror. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You ever just gone up to the mirror and looked at yourself? And maybe close your eyes and envisioned 10 years younger, with a lot of hair. Sister Grant brought me an ad in one of these little shoppers. It was a hat that you can get, and it's got hair on top of it. It's a cap. So I thought about getting one of those. I went back to my class reunion, and they were showing my picture, and a bunch of girls behind me started laughing and said, what happened to all that black hair? You know, it just went bye-bye. And so I look every now and then in the mirror and I say, John, you don't look as young as you used to. Not nearly as handsome as you used to be. My wife used to tell me all the time, oh, you're so handsome. She doesn't tell me that anymore. I told her the other day, I said, well, don't you just, even if you don't believe it, tell me that I'm good looking. You know, I go away from the mirror and, you know, I'm 70 years old, but I don't feel 70. I feel like I'm, well, you know how my, you know what my, somebody said 20, didn't they? Who was it? Paris said 20. Okay. Yeah. So, you're older than 20, aren't you? Don't put me younger than you. But you know, really, you know, my theory is, or my philosophy is, you know, how old would I be if I didn't really know how old I am? That's not confusing, is it? In other words, if nobody told you how old you were, and you just had to kind of guess and select, I might be older than 20, because I do enjoy pulling rank on young people. Now, that I enjoy. I'm a master at that. Do you know that? If you young people don't know that, you know. Young people come to me every now and then and say, Brother Grant, was I doing something wrong in service? You were looking at me all during service. I want to say, well, I didn't really notice that you were here, you know. That's just something about my heavy eyebrows, my deep-set eyes. There's a lot of people that can be 2 feet from me, and they don't know if I'm looking at them or not. You know? So they feel that you know, that I can read their minds and everything. No, I can't. I don't have any idea, quite often, when you confess that you were involved in what you're confessing. You just thought I knew. But you know, I forget. I really forget what I look like. And what he's doing, he's saying, you know, the real problem, if we don't stay in the Word, we really forget as Christians what we're supposed to be. Jesus said the man that built his house upon this rock was a man that heard the word and obeyed it. He was a doer. You know, Leonard Ravenhill, in his book, Why Revival Tarries, makes a statement. He said, someday some poor wretched soul traveling down life's road is going to stumble on a Bible, pick it up, read it, and put us all to shame. I challenge myself every now and then with that because I see young people come into church. Man, they got zip and zeal and passion and burden and they're teaching and scrambling here and scrambling there, doing everything they possibly can. I got to tell you, you young people challenge me. And I don't have the energy I used to have, but I want to make sure that I have the burden I used to have. I tell my boys, I said, now, boys, I don't work as hard as I used to, but I work smarter. I know how to cut corners and make things work. But, you know, we can become professional Christians. Yeah. You see, one of the most frustrating things that I know of, and that is whenever I preach the word of the Lord, and there are people saying, amen, 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 amen. Sunday night, I had a great big time in the Lord, so it's easy to say amen. And yet, they leave and don't do anything about it. And when we talk about a more excellent way, we're talking about a way of love. Go around and shake hands with everybody. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then some people, they just know all the dirt on everybody. You know, I marvel at your insight. how you're able to collect all the negativity and dirt on. I marvel at your insight. You should be working for the police department. Pay you big bucks. In fact, you know, you get these hunches. The Bible calls it presumptuous sin. Think you know it. Blah, 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 blah. Now, let me tell you something. Listen to me. If you want to be successful in the people business, you must know how to encourage people and make people feel good about themselves. You need to make every person look as good as you possibly can. So let's say you see a brother that's done something wrong, and you look at this brother and you think about a dozen things that he's done wrong. Well, there's more to him than just that. You know, if he's 85% right, he's 15% wrong. Why do you want to emphasize the 15% wrong? Now, there's good in everybody. I mean, even a broken watch is correct at least two times a day. Isn't that right? But you see, the problem is that we become professional Christians. There never has been a time that's more important for us to set aside differences. We don't like somebody because of this, that, and the other. You know, here's the thing. All ground is equal at the cross. All of it. There's no big I's, there's no little U's. We're all one in Christ. Isn't that what Paul was saying to the church in Galatia? Neither male nor female. So, when you're fellowshipping your brother or your sister, regardless of how much they have or how little they have, according to the scripture, they should be your superior. Isn't that right? That's what the Bible says. Let a man esteem his brother higher than himself. That's what he says. And when you esteem someone higher than yourself, that means you make that person your superior. Thus, according to Scripture, you cannot find one Scripture in the Bible where a subordinate has the authority to be critical of a superior. Find it and show it to me. It's just not in the Bible. It isn't. So, we have to be careful. You know, we've been in the church a long time, and some of us are very successful. You have to be careful about becoming a professional Christian when you're successful. Easy to become like the Pharisees. And Paul said, I show you a more excellent way. See, when Jesus walks among us, he doesn't see our bank account, he doesn't see our pocketbook, doesn't see our clothes, doesn't take into account the color of our skin. We're all one in Jesus Christ. I think that's so great about the body of Christ. I've made this statement before, but America we've had racism for so long. I wonder what it'd be like if all of us were blind, if we couldn't see the color of somebody's skin, color of their hair, the texture of their hair. How would we treat that person? Well, the thing about it is God gave us eyes, didn't he? But he didn't give us eyes to pick people apart. And so we become blessed of God. I think Revelation 3:15 and 17, I just want to talk about Laodicea. Laodicea actually comes from two words, and that is laity rule. It was said of the church at Thyatira that they practiced the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans ruled over the laity. But Laodicea turned that around and began to rule the ministers, so that the minister was a hireling. We don't like what he says, we get somebody else. If he preaches too long, we talk to him about it. He doesn't, because one of the signs of the last days, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, tell us something that makes us feel good about ourselves. As much as I want to make you feel good about yourself, and I try by the help of the Lord, every time I talk with you, to make you feel good about yourself, there is a time in which I have to stand behind the pulpit and I have to make it plain, so to speak. Now, before we read these scriptures, let me explain something. Laodicea was a plush church. And before we get into this, I want to make it very plain. There's nothing wrong with you to be financially successful. Nothing wrong with it. In fact, we wouldn't even have the story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible if this man didn't have enough money to rent a hotel, buy food, provide a doctor's care or whatever, and then tell the keeper of the motel, if he runs up a bill higher than what I paid you already, let me know, I'll pay it. Jesus said, this do, and ye shall live. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that we have to be careful. Now, when you came to God, you gave up everything, and you put it in the hands of God. Let me ask you this. After 30 years of serving God, if God spoke to you and told you to give all of your goods to the poor, like he did the rich young ruler, would you do it? Now you think about what I'm saying. You may say, I don't like to think about that because that scares me. But you see, stewardship's not designed to break you, because you cannot outgive God. If you gave it away at his command, he will replenish it 100-fold. That's what he told the disciples about the rich young ruler. So it's okay to own houses and lands and such, but don't let those things own you. Was said of the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2. He said, you've lost your first love. We can't lose our love for God, and we can't lose our love for humanity. Keep in mind that there's no such thing as as vertical love between you and God, and you and God only, there's also always horizontal love. And that is, if you reach up to God in love, you've got to reach out to your brother. You say you love God, you don't love your brother. John puts it very plain. In fact, he says, you know what? You're a liar. Now, when I say John, I'm not talking about John Wesley Graham. I'm talking about John in the Bible, you know. I mean, it wasn't me that said that. That's what he said, though. That's exactly what he said. So, you've got to stay in this position, though. If you continue to emit the love of God to people, you have to walk humbly. Keep your mouth shut about things that you disagree with. Now, everybody in the house that's your brother and sister, you must submit to. See, some of you submit to a few. And your out is that because I am better than they are, then I can criticize them and talk. You know, that's a sign of an unforgiving spirit. I don't know if you know that or not. And this will create a slippery slope into hell faster than anything that I know of. Because if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, as a pastor, I have to be very careful because it is my basic responsibility to minister in the house of God and help people with their problems. But I cannot become condemning. And, you know, I just want to be like the Lord. I really do. But on the other hand, you know, I don't want to be, just because I'm a pastor, I don't want to be just a sounding board where you can come and just tell all your gossip. And for somebody that's coming to you and always talking about somebody, you know, let me back up a little bit. Little people talk about people. Good people usually talk about things. But superb people talk about ideals and goals. So if somebody's coming and sharing dirt with you, you owe it to that person, if you count that person your friend, to say, you know, I would just prefer you not to tell me all this stuff. See, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, miracles, but I show you a better way. You know, and I try by the help of the Lord. You know, let's support each other. That's the better way. It's healthier for you. Solomon even said, through much knowledge or sorrow, or wisdom rather, come as sorrow. You don't want to hear some things you hear. You don't need to hear some things you hear. You must understand that, you know, gossip is sharing information about someone who's neither a part of the problem nor the solution. And it's my job, too, to keep the church out of a rut. You know, I got to tell you, Calvary Gospel Church has had its times in which we got in a rut. Houston, you've heard me say this. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You've heard me say that. But you're not hearing me say that anymore. See, there was nothing wrong with a horse and buggy. Nothing wrong. In fact, they still make buggies exactly the way they made them in the mid-1800s. If you get one and you go to a museum and you look at one there, the one you get now is just like that one. Because they haven't changed that much. But could you feature a city like New York City with a metro area of 13 million people with nothing but horses and buggies? What do you think? About every other block would have to be vacant. Livery stables all over the place. People sweeping. The streets, honestly. Where would you get enough hay and grass? But somebody came along and said, nothing wrong with a horse and buggy, but. And now we have these automobiles. Aren't you glad that we have? And one thing that keeps the church out of rut, and that is, do things different every now and then. You may say, why are they doing this, Si? Well, I'm doing it sometimes just so that you don't get so complacent. I have prayed about things and changed things and sat over there while it was taking place. And in my mind, I was saying, I don't like this. But Lord, I know this is what you said. I don't like it, but I know this is what you said. So we did it a few times. I said, you know, this is pretty good. Isn't that right? It's like some of the new cars that come out. I said, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. And 6 months later, I'm buying one. There's just certain things, you know, that just have to be done. The devil, inch by inch, he just corrupts our minds. And Laodicea, let's go back there, okay? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Now, this scripture is kind of a puzzling scripture because does God want a person to be cold, totally backslidden? But I tell you what, in his eyes, he must feel better if you're totally backslidden than when you're practicing Christianity and telling him that you love him and telling him that he's your all in all. And telling him that he's your God. And telling him he's your Savior, your Redeemer, your soon coming King. And all the while, you don't really feel it inside. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spew thee out of my mouth. I guess you can draw this conclusion. If you're not going to live for God, you're better off to remove yourself than have him to remove you. Brother Russell, it's kind of serious business, isn't it? Serious, yes it is. Oh my. Well, I tell you what. I'm going to close this, and I've left off a lot of things, and this hasn't really been a sermon per se. Let's go to 2 Peter 2, verse 19 through 21. I'd like for all of you to stand. First and Second Peter are both written to the church concerning the children of disobedience. See, Satan does his greatest work in the church among the children of disobedience. The devil can't stop us. The world can't stop us. But we can stop ourselves. This is what he says. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. Entangled therein. And overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now notice this. This is a sobering scripture. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You'd be better off to have been unreached with the gospel than to carry something so sacred and treat it so casual. Let's just lift our hands and praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Shatara mama mama hataya.